Moving your hips like the wind moves cotton. You could get the whole wide countryside hopping.
Bring the beat back.
Shake it all right. Let me see you do it in the Tennessee moonlight. Whoa, baby, let's go down a little road nobody else knows. Just me and you parked on the edge of the world. That's how I wanna see you, girl. Yeah, let me see you, girl. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you, girl.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court upholding the law banning TikTok's app in the U.S. That ban expected to take effect Sunday unless the China-owned company sells.
The justices explain at length how a law like this one meets a significant government interest of protecting the United States' national security for a number of concerns over Chinese collection of Americans' data and also their use, alleged use of the platform to spread propaganda in the United States.
ABC's Devin Dwyer. For the first time in 40 years, the inauguration ceremonies will be moved indoors. Temperatures in Washington, D.C. Monday are expected to dip into the 20s with wind chills in the teens. President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance will be sworn in inside the Capitol Rotunda. Ohio's governor announcing moments ago that the state's lieutenant governor, John Husted, will fill the vacated Senate seat for Vance. And fire crews continue to battle wildfires in Southern California. This is ABC News. A Texas community is in mourning over the killing of a police officer and wounding of a K-9 officer. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimber.
It all began when they tried to serve a warrant for Robert Lee Davis. Surveillance video shows officers approaching Davis at a strip mall before he allegedly opens fire, killing Deputy Jesus Vargas. Hours later, Rocky, a U.S. Marshal K-9, picked up a scent and led them to a dumpster where Davis was hiding. Davis fired shots as Rocky closed in, hitting the dog twice in the neck. Officers returned fire, killing Davis. A doctor who treated Rocky says the bullets narrowly missed the dog's spine and vital organs, calling Rocky the luckiest dog I've seen.
A man accused of sexually assaulting a Pennsylvania college student in 2013 and later sending her a Facebook message that said, quote, "So I raped you," will be held without bail. 31-year-old Ian Clearly faced a judge today, a day after he was extradited from France. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 17th through the 27th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature have unveiled a lowering costs, improving lives bill package. It's their first of the new session. And Schwabadon Representative Ryan Spaldy is the author of a bill aimed at lowering prescription drug prices.
No Wisconsinite should be forced to choose between putting food on their table and having the life-saving medication that they need. It's far past time that we take action to actually lower the cost of prescription drugs and to increase price transparency here in Wisconsin.
Another bill included in the package would expand the homestead tax credit, which provides tax breaks for low-income homeowners and renters. The Department of Health Services confirms a pediatric flu death in Wisconsin.
It's the first influenza-associated death of the 2024-25 season. State Health Officer Paula Tran says respiratory viruses remain a significant health concern, especially in children, and it's not too late to get your flu or COVID vaccine. DHS says respiratory illness activity is currently high in Wisconsin, and emergency department visits due to flu and respiratory viruses have also increased. DHS encourages everyone 6 months and older to get vaccinated against the flu and COVID-19. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A legend in Milwaukee baseball and broadcasting, Bob Uecker, has died at the age of 90. A Thursday statement from the Milwaukee Brewers said Uecker was an announcer and entertainer whose humor and voice transcended the game. The statement added that Uecker had been fighting a battle with small cell lung cancer since early 2023. There are many Uecker tributes around the Brewers' home stadium, American Family Field, including a statue of him outside the ballpark. The Brewers say they'll provide details for a public celebration of Uecker's life at a later date. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A cloudy but warm winter day as high temperatures try to tap 40 degrees. All ahead of a cold front sliding through this afternoon, which could spark up a few scattered snow showers and bringing breezy winds. Gusting up to 30 miles per hour as temperatures fall to the single digits, with wicked wind chills slapped on top of that. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 35.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
For today's free-for-all, even if some of the news seems like it's just a bit outside of what you expected, we're going to sort it out, add some perspective, and bring clarity to what was an active week for the ag industry.
Live from the Knights of the Morning Table, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Congresswoman Angie Craig from Minnesota. Then we'll open up a can of Friday free-for-all with Pro Farmer OG Jim Wiesmeyer and the Alberta Breeze Sean Haney from Real Ag Radio. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Bob Uecker passed.
Saw that.
Bob Uecker passed. Yep. Doggone it, Mr. Baseball.
Yep.
Obviously, he had a career, and he's got one of the funniest quotes about his career that I've ever heard. I mean, it rivals anything that Yogi Berra ever said. you know, he said, hey, it's easy to stick in the big leagues when you're batting 300. You ought to try to do it when you're batting 200. No kidding. It's a lot harder to stick around when you're batting 200 than it is 300.
Don't I know it. Try doing it on 100, by the way. That's why I'm in radio.
I gotcha. Well, and here's something that he said about radio that I haven't put it on the wall, but now that he's passed, I think I might have to. He said on TV, the people can see it. On radio, you've got to create it.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's something that I, you know, it's one of his quotes that I saw from a long time ago. I mean, this one kind of hit me because doggone it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a fan of baseball that, how do you not love the guy? Even though there he was calling the games for the Cubs' number one rival, I still, any chance that I got when I was in Wisconsin or within range of a Wisconsin radio station on game day, I listened to Uecker. It was too much fun. So yeah.
Well, I can hear it ringing in my head, just a little outside.
That's right. Okay, man. Geez, we've got a lot that we're going to get to today. Yeah. And we better get started with the news. What do you got?
Indeed, the weather calling for Arctic air to plunge across the Rockies and Great Plains Friday, crossing the Deep South and Great Lakes Saturday night, and the Eastern Seaboard on Sunday, bringing dangerously cold wind chill temperatures. Brief and intense bursts of snow and gusty winds and snow squalls, there's that word again, could lead to reduced visibility and deteriorating road conditions. Where? Across the Northern Plains into the Rockies through Friday.
Yeah, we've got some relief in the middle of the country today, but boy, it's going away in a hurry. We've got a cold snap coming starting tomorrow.
Yep. Well, all three major U.S. stock indices finished Thursday lower. Oil prices dropped with Brent crude closing at $81.29 and WTI falling to $78.68. That's down 1.7% on Thursday after hitting multi-month highs on Wednesday. Grain and livestock markets will observe normal trading hours today. That's why we're here. All markets and government offices are closed Monday, Jan 20, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. USDA today published the interim final rule in the Federal Register on technical guidance for climate-smart agriculture practices for commodities relative to biofuel production. The rules will be finalized by the Trump administration. Rising bond yields and a ballooning federal debt are intensifying challenges for President-elect Trump as he prepares to take office. Federal debt has doubled since his first term, and deficits have surged, placing mounting pressure on Congress to rein in spending. The Freedom Caucus demands significant spending cuts as a prerequisite for new fiscal legislation. There's that Freedom Caucus, Chip.
They're trying to balance the cuts with the spending cuts because there's a growing conversation that so much of the economy is built on government spending that if you take it away, then it's going to hurt the economy. You got to balance that by incentivizing private activity, private business activity, and you do that through some lower taxes.
Well, Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President-elect Trump held a phone call this morning described by Trump as, quote, a very good one for both China and the USA. The two leaders discussed trade, fentanyl, TikTok, and other pressing issues, with Trump expressing optimism about making the world, quote, more peaceful and safe. Treasury Secretary nominee Scott Bessent testified before the Senate Finance Committee, elaborating on Trump administration priorities, including taxes, tariffs, and sanctions. Bessent reaffirmed his support for Federal Reserve independence and emphasized making Trump's tax cuts permanent. Bessent outlined using tariffs to counter unfair trade, generate revenue, and gain leverage in negotiations. Referring to his farming background, Bessent quipped, quote, I may be the first Treasury nominee in a long time that knows what a section is. Chip, you know, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Big-time farmland owner up in North Dakota.
I like that. Well, Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller suggested that interest rate cuts might begin in the first half of 2025 if favorable inflation trends persist. He indicated a rate cut as early as March could not be ruled out, with further reductions possible later in the year. The CDC announced on Thursday it is recommending hospitals quickly sequence flu specimens from patients to more rapidly detect any avian influenza infections. The CDC has not changed its assessment that the bird flu risk to the general public currently is low. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. So what's coming up in the next pork podcast?
Well, we just dropped our episode today with the Dadson family. And I don't know if you've heard of the Dadson family from California, but if I say red shirt, hair in a bun, and the stare at the show pig, you're probably going to have maybe seen it because their videos have been everywhere. They've been on the Pat McAfee show. They've been on ESPN, Barstool Sports. Even Will Smith shared their post. And again, there's a lot of people out there who are intrigued with this family. Like, what are they doing? And, you know, I think one of the big takeaways that I got from this was it's crazy how for some of us it's just our lifestyle, being around livestock shows and growing up around fairs and so forth, but there's a lot of people who simply don't get what we do. And so I had a great conversation with the Dadsons about why they put so much out there. They're posting about a reel or video almost every day. That's a lot of work.
Oh,
it takes a lot of time.
It's absolutely a lot of work. There's no doubt about it. And you're opening yourself up to all kinds of comments and everything. And they seem, from what I can tell, Jennifer, they seem to be handling it exceptionally well.
Well, I love what the dad, Kyle, had to say. He's like, I have had to put myself in timeout, so I just kind of veer away from reading the comments. He doesn't do it. And Karis, she says she doesn't read them either. But mom reads the comments, and she goes through, and she does respond to a lot of them. But also a lot of the questions and even the critical things people say, she uses it as an opportunity to turn that into a video response and an educational opportunity. And so really, at the heart of what they want to do is help people understand the livestock industry better and the importance of raising animals for our food supply and the fact that it's a fun hobby, but it's also a real responsibility to provide food for the world. So it's a great podcast episode. I hope people can go listen.
Fantastic. Porkbusiness.com, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer Shike, editor, Farm Journal's Pork, free for all at the bottom of the hour. Angie Craig is next.
The National Pork Board cares about your farm legacy. New grant opportunities are available to help you steward your land and your future. Are you interested in boosting conservation on your farm to shore up your land and legacy for future generations? Let the National Pork Board help with technical and financial assistance to implement some impactful conservation practices. Get started today. Simply request your Pork Cares Farm Impact Report to explore funding support for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
At NASH, the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Every Tuesday.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.76%. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It is Friday and the free-for-all, and we're going to have a very special guest on the free-for-all here this morning, Representative Angie Craig from the 2nd District of Minnesota and the ranking member of the House Ag Committee. Welcome to AgriTalk, Representative Craig.
It's great to be here, and thanks for calling me special.
Congratulations on your reelection and your selection as the ranking member of the House Ag Committee.
Thank you. It's an honor to represent Democrats on the committee, and even more of an honor to be able to work on the farm bill.
Yeah, yeah. What's the status of your Ag Committee team? Have you finalized the roster there?
We've got a couple of waivers left, but for the most part, we have. And we've got some great new members on the committee, folks who really want to be there and work on good farm policy. So I'm especially excited about the committee here in this session of Congress.
Okay. How do you see the farm bill going forward?
Well, GT and I have sat down, and we work really well together. So I think there is an opportunity to work on a bipartisan basis. I certainly come at this with every intention of getting a farm bill done. I'm a little worried about the budget reconciliation process that we're hearing rumors about right now, you know, leading to a situation where this thing gets pushed. But GT and I, the day I was sworn in, I said hello to GT, and the next day I was in a car on the way to Pennsylvania with him to an ad show. So, look, I mean, I'm right in the middle of it. You know, I'll be at the Farm Bureau down in Texas here later this month, and we're getting on the road. And, you know, it's been such an honor to represent Minnesota's family farmers. And as the granddaughter of, rice and cotton and bean farmer in Arkansas, it is an honor to be representing more spaces around the country.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, the concern about the reconciliation bill. That's the one big, beautiful bill that we're hearing about, correct?
Well, or two some days from the other side of the aisle. So we'll leave it to them to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, look, if, you know, if Republicans come after money that is there for SNAP, which the leak document says they're going to try to take about $300 billion from the nutrition title. And if they come after the IRA money that my friend GT wanted to put in the farm bill, that's going to be a challenge, I think, for me to get 100 Democrats to vote for a farm bill. And, you know, GT's got a challenge of his own. He's probably got 30 to 50 Republicans who won't vote for a farm bill either. So, look, we're going to be forced to do what we always end up doing in the end, which is coming back together and negotiating a bipartisan farm bill that folks from both sides of the aisle can vote for. And I just, you know, I hope the budget reconciliation process doesn't throw a wrench in those bipartisan talks.
Okay. All right. Minnesota, obviously, has always been a big leader in biofuels. So I want to talk about some of those issues with you. And you just mentioned the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. Do you think the Trump administration is going to continue some of those IRA programs, things like the 45Z clean fuels incentives? Are those going to continue?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I'm, you know, a big supporter of biofuels, of course, in Minnesota. I lead the bill for year-round E15. I think sustainable aviation fuel is a huge opportunity for us. And, you know, if you come after some of those IRA dollars, you're literally taking money away from EQIP and money out of the pockets of family farmers in order to pay for your tax bill. So I certainly hope they don't do that. I'm going to be working to do everything in my power to explain why it's so important. I served under the first President Trump administration, and he signed four of my bills into law. So I come at this hoping that we can be productive. And look, I mean, my biofuels producers, they need new markets, and I'm going to be doing everything I can in order to help them. And look, I mean, 45Z and 40B, I wish you know, this administration that's leaving currently had sort of gotten that across the finish line. But there was some pretty good news that came out on 45Z here earlier this week. And I had a chance to meet with Secretary Vilsack. And I think they've certainly laid the groundwork for the next administration to continue the momentum to give, you know, Minnesota producers, Midwest producers access to those markets.
Okay, cool. Cool. You know, I do want to let everybody know that you definitely bring a history of bipartisanship and working through differences to the Ag Committee. I mean, that's fair to say, isn't it?
Well, look, I, you know, vote against Democrats 30% of the time in the last session. I do what's right for producers. And I'm honored that Democrats put me at the top of this committee because I think, you know, they want me to work on a bipartisan basis. They want us to be able to get a farm bill. You know, I certainly am not going to let anybody attack the nutrition title either. We all know, those of us who've been in this and watching this space long enough, that you know, there's no farm bill without a nutrition title, that's how we get to bipartisanship. And look, the way I look at that title is a little bit from a Midwesterner. SNAP, when you start cutting SNAP, you're basically cutting farm income for family farmers. And we got to start looking at it, I think, in a little bit different way, because, you know, these are the producers growing the food. These are the truck drivers driving it to the grocery stores. These are the clerks putting it on the store shelves. So look, yeah, we're all in this together, and I think we've got to start thinking about it this way. And, you know, as a member, I've been focused on strengthening the crop insurance title. Certainly reference prices need to increase. It's very important to me. New and beginning farmers, very important. And being able to pass that farm down to the next generation, that's important to me. So I am certainly got a bipartisan track record here in the Congress since I've been here. And look, I'm also not a politician, so to speak. I didn't grow up in politics at all. I ran two manufacturing companies for two different healthcare companies before I got to Congress 6 years ago. So I may not be your typical ranking member from either side of the aisle, but I bring to it a commitment to making sure that our family farms are supported.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me like you and the chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson, out of Pennsylvania, you can sit and have great conversations because you may not agree on all points, but there is enough area of agreement that you can work together and get this done. I think it's really cool. Really cool.
We just got to make sure that, you know, the broader leadership, both in the House and the Senate, understand the importance of a farm bill. And,
yes,
hopefully that will happen. Republicans are in the majority in the House and the Senate, and so their leadership has got to make sure that they're prioritizing this as well.
Okay. All right. We almost had nationwide year-round availability of E15 under the last reconciliation bill. What is the future of that in 2025?
Well, look, I just said Republicans control the majority. That was in the bill that Democrats agreed to. I had Democrats ready to vote for that bill with E15 in it. And this is, of course, one of my highest priorities. That is my bill, year-round E15.
Yep.
I was really disappointed that it didn't end up in the final bill. And I was making calls to, you know, great friends of mine on the other side of the aisle, like Dusty Johnson of South Dakota and Randy Feenstra from Iowa, begging them to implore Speaker Johnson to keep it in the bill. It didn't cost anything, and it would create certainty within these markets. And so, look, it's probably a question better for GT, but I'm ready to rally Democrats to support it. And
okay,
I had them there at the end of the year, and I'll get them there again if Speaker Johnson will prioritize this.
Okay, help us understand where you're coming from on the energy side of things, because as far as I can tell, Representative Craig, you've kind of gotten all of the above approach to energy policy. Is that right?
That's exactly right. The market is moving more toward electric vehicles, but I certainly believe that liquid fuels are going to be an important part of the mix for a very long time. And that's how California has been meeting some of its carbon reduction emission goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when you've got the governor of California calling for year-round E15, you're on to something. So it's something that I've been supportive of, higher blends as well. And of course, as a member and as ranking member, the job's a little bit different. I take into consideration the full range of views from my full caucus of Democrats. But at the end of the day, as I said, when, you know, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House, we got year-round E15 across the finish line in the House. So I'm going to keep pushing for these markets.
Okay.
For this certainty, absolutely, as ranking member.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, Representative Craig, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. I know it's an exceptionally busy time for you, and We appreciate it and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. That is Representative Angie Craig, 2nd District of Minnesota, and ranking member of the House Ag Committee. We're going to be right back. Keep the free-for-all going right here on a Friday edition of AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's in the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 14 to 2020, March up 7 to 1995, April up 3 to 1970, May milk down 4 at 1962. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are moving up mostly higher. Feeder cattle also following suit, moving mostly higher. Strength in some of the boxed beef prices helping to support the markets, along with a bit of a recovery from yesterday's losses. Lean hogs, though, they continue to move mostly lower. The trade extending the sell-off from yesterday, they're still skeptical about consumer demand. February live cattle up 97 cents to 197.57. January feeder cattle up 45 cents to 273.90. February hogs down 75 cents to 81.55. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans moving mostly higher on a bounce back after the big losses from yesterday with a risk on type of trade heading into the long three-day weekend. Meanwhile, wheat markets, they are moving mostly flat. The trade watching flat MATIF wheat prices as well in the market, and that is still providing some pressure. March corn up 8.5 to 483. New crop up 1.75 to 454.5. March beans up 14.25 to 1033.25. New crop up 4.25 to 1025. March wheat in Chicago steady at 537.5. Minneapolis wheat up 3/4 to 582.25. Attention all ag producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Ag Conference Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio up in Alberta. How are you, Sean? You keeping warm?
Chip, I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, it's been a little bit mild here this week, which we will take for the middle of January, but could use a little bit more snow on the ground. We'll see if Mother Nature delivers on that.
All right, very good. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Buddy, you have had a busy morning. How's things going?
You had to get up very early to go through transcripts, etc. You can tell Trump's about here as president because it doubles the amount of copy.
It is. It's absolutely amazing how I can feel everything ramping up and the activity and the attitude that we're picking up. It's real. It is real, this change that we are going through. There's no question about it. We talked with Representative Craig, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, about that reconciliation bill. Jim, you've got an update on that this morning. What's the latest?
Yeah, the Ways and Means Committee put out proposed, that's the key word there, proposed budget savings, and she won't like it because the thing she talked about, the stamp or the food stamp program, they cut a big piece out of those for savings in a procedural way. But that's just the first step in order to find some budget offsets, Chip.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. You feeling what's happening here, Haney?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're talking about the volume and the news. I think outside the United States, it's felt as well. There's a heavy load of uncertainty heading into what Monday could bring, or, you know, we may not have all the answers on tariffs as of Monday, but it definitely provided a bit of a, I don't know if a cloud, but a lot of concern when I was at the Western Canadian Crop Production Show in Saskatoon. You got a lot of manufacturers that do a lot of business south of the border. You know, a lot of equipment, you know, whether it's air drills and seeders and things like that. They're very concerned. They're concerned about the Canadian dollar in a real tailspin compared to the U.S. greenback, and they're concerned about potential tariffs for the finished good leaving to go to the U.S. as well.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, the tariff talk, we've talked about it for quite some time on here, but I think it's an even bigger deal than what I thought it was, and here's why I'm saying that. Chad Lehman, a producer over in Illinois, was on the Farmer Forum on Wednesday. And when we started talking about what's going on in this hog market, he said, you know, as soon as it felt like they were starting to back away or soften their tone on the tariffs, the hog market took off to the upside because of the amount of trade that we do with Mexico and Canada. And here we are at the end of the week. The tariff talk seems to be back, Jim, and we've got this hog market under pressure.
But the uncertainty, anyone who says they know exactly what Trump and his people are going to do, that they don't know. But now you had Senator Todd Young, Republican from Indiana, yesterday saying that the Trump people to him are signaling it'll be a targeted tariff strategy, selected tariffs, selected leverage. If that's the case, then they won't be as onerous as they could have, Chip. You had President-elect Trump get on the phone and call Xi Jinping, and they talked about trade. So that's not a negative to me.
So if we're targeted and we're talking precision tariffs, for a lack of a better term, you know, steel has got to be like the one for sure. You'd have to think it's fascinating to see how wide of a swath that is on those targeted tariffs. Is that more about finished goods, you know, to bring more manufacturing and processing to the U.S., or is it on more of the raw commodities, or, you know, like a live animal versus boxed beef, for example? Like, there's a lot of different ways you could go if you are going to go down the precision tariff route. It just opens it all up for a lot of different options.
It might be seen as a means of actually responding to specifics in a specific way. We don't like your policy here on this particular product or production or whatever, so we can highlight that and put our finger on that. Meanwhile, over here, we're fine with what you're doing. Bring them on in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, moving goalposts though.
It's complicated.
That's the frustrating part is, you know, 1 minute it's about fentanyl crossing the border from Canada to the U.S. and, you know, a few people crossing illegally. Oh, that's not a big deal. Now it's this. Like it's moving goalposts. And I think at some point that wears people just out. That's the trouble with that strategy over a long period of time. You know, what's interesting on this note. Okay, go ahead, Chip.
But the thing is, I think we're starting to gain some clarity as to why or how the tariffs will be used. We talked about this months ago. If it was a general tariff, then it was going to be in an effort to generate some revenue so that to offset income tax. But when they start talking targeted, it's all about leverage, Jim, right?
Yeah. The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, yesterday, he just said they're going to be used to counter unfair trade, such as maybe dairy in Canada, generate revenue and gain leverage in negotiations. It's all of the above, Chip. And it's the big one is reciprocity. You can just hear Trump say it. What is your tariff on our products? Well, ours is lower. We're going to increase the tariff on your products.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, a long rant on that. Daniel Smith, Premier for Alberta, was at Mar-a-Lago last weekend, guest of Kevin O'Leary, and there's a picture of the three of them all together, and I don't know what the heck O'Leary was wearing, and that suit was atrocious. Who's dressing O'Leary? I don't
linen.
Know.
It's called linen.
He needs a new stylist. Straight out of Miami Vice. Anyway, she goes down there. I didn't like her messaging when she came back. She talked about how widespread tariffs, and there is going to be a tariff on Alberta oil and gas. Now, that's a substantial export for Canada. It's a substantial import for the U.S. If you got rid of, let's just pretend for a second, we got rid of oil coming out of Canada into the U.S., that would erase the trade deficit with Canada immediately. You'd have actually a trade surplus. Now, can you do that? Well, a lot of oil people say absolutely not. The U.S. needs that oil and gas out of Canada, but she came back with a different message. There's going to be a tariff on even things like Canadian oil.
Yeah.
I like the suit. He looks good.
He does not.
He looks fine. Oh my God. He made an effort. God.
Jim, okay. Good perspective there, Haney. Let's go back to that conversation between Trump and Xi Jinping. What else can we learn from that conversation, Jim?
Well, there is your classic Trump. He has more aggressive hawks in his team, but yet he wants to find a solution. And if China goes back in some form, and this is what the Treasury Secretary nominee said yesterday,
yes,
we want them to fulfill the phase one. Let's go back. So maybe they discuss that. I know they discussed agriculture trade. So this is why this is so much up in the air, and it could go many different ways. It is frustrating for business people because there's a lot of uncertainty.
You got to think that a big part of that conversation between Trump and Xi Jinping was talking about this TikTok ban on Friday or on Sunday.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. It had to be. And the Supreme Court, what did they rule this morning?
Well, they said if they justified getting them out if there's no new buyer. But I think that there's now you've got Democrats and Republican leaders led by Trump want to save it. I think that a way will be found to keep it as is.
Okay. Well, doesn't it kind of make it a little bit uncomfortable if all of a sudden Musk is able to buy it? Like, doesn't that feel a little bit too close? Like, that is uncomfortable. I think that's my position.
That would raise eyebrows. There's no question about it. Okay. So after the conversation between Trump and Xi Jinping this morning, I got a couple of messages from longtime traders saying, here's what people are missing. They are going to get this figured out before any of the tariffs are initiated or implemented against China. It's going to restart the trade. You had, as you said, Jim, we've got Bessent yesterday saying, you know, knock, 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 hi, it's us again. Yeah. Remember that deal that we had, you need to fulfill and go forward with that deal. The positives the positives of a China-U.S. trade relationship haven't really even been talked about until we get to this point. And it is something, Jim, that I think maybe the market has markets have not paid a whole lot of attention to.
No, they haven't. And the phrase was catch-up provision relative phase one, that they're behind. And China has to get some things, too. And that's where the TikTok comes in, see?
Yeah.
So we're going to see. He's a negotiator, and I think that's definitely what happened.
Oh, yeah.
One of these things on these negotiations in this, you know, you need to buy more of this, you need to buy more of that, is the strength of the U.S. dollar and how much more expensive that proposition is for countries that are going to be pushed in this direction.
Yeah. And then we've also got word, I think Davis talked about it in the news, South Korea has decided that maybe they're going to front run this a little bit. Maybe look at more purchases of U.S. agricultural goods to gain a better balance in the trade between South Korea and
that's the
U.S.
The leverage.
Yes,
the leverage we have.
There's so much happening here. We got to talk more about the cabinet hearings coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-549-TERM, 866-549-TERM, 866-549-TERM.
Talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Dr. Rosemary Sifford, USDA Chief Veterinary Officer, joins us right now. Dr. Sifford, give us an update on the status of African swine fever and what it means for the U.S. pork industry.
African swine fever is a really deadly disease that can decimate pig populations, and it has been doing so globally, which has led to pork shortages and dramatically increasing pork prices in some parts of the world. Since the United States is one of the world's largest pork producers and the second largest exporter of pork globally, it is really important to us to make sure to keep this disease out of the United States. If it gets into the United States, it's estimated that it would cost us over $74 billion over 10 years. So because we recognize how important the pork industry is to the United States and how important pork is to many cultures, we want to ensure that pork can continue to be a part of people's family recipes by preventing African swine fever from entering the U.S. and from having impacts on our pork supply.
Yeah, and it's to prevent the disease, but it's really a long-term investment in the success of the U.S. pork industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. Biosecurity measures are the primary ways that producers can prevent all sorts of diseases from reaching their herds, and that helps them to protect against significant financial loss and ensures the stability of the pork supply chain. It can also help to foster consumer confidence in the safety and quality of U.S. pork, which strengthens the domestic markets and enhances our global competitiveness. So it's really important, and it is an investment in the future overall for producers to put together strong biosecurity plans, prepare themselves with the tools and knowledge and training to keep their operations running smoothly so they can handle the challenges of African swine fever or other novel diseases that might enter.
Excellent perspective, Dr. Sifford. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Rosemary Sifford, USDA Chief Veterinary Officer.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
We are into the final push on this week's free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, pro farmer policy analyst. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Davis is here, and I'm your host, Chip. The cabinet hearings, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. Jim, what did you hear? What do we need to know?
Well, he certainly wasn't negative towards the RFS and E15, as a lot of people thought going into the hearing. Remember, he's a former New York representative, Chip. Yep. And he was basically saying, no, it's a difference from a New York lawmaker versus working in an administration, especially with Trump. He was very aggressive against the Biden's language on the waters of the U.S. So I think we are going to see farmer-friendly news there. On the RFS, he just wants to implement the law, he said. Implement it.
He did the backstroke on that one. That's what the backstroke looks like. You know, I talked to farmers and I've toured some plants and, you know, now I fully understand things. Oh, okay. I wish you would have maybe done that before you were so strongly trying to get rid of it and scrapping. You think you would have done that research, but he was doing the backstroke.
But again, New York versus working from a national perspective, I think, to be fair.
Yeah, and Jim, he mentioned more than once that President Trump understands how important this is to Middle America. I thought that was encouraging.
I agree. And he also said that they should use at the mandated levels if there's the production there. And that goes into renewable diesel. Remember, they were very light on the mandate. And I think that could change once they announce the 2026 one. We're going to see it. At least now we know the target to judge him on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the first Trump administration, he talked a lot about knowing the importance of the RFS, too. And then we had all the SREs. I'll judge incoming President Trump on his support of biofuels based on some of the actions in this version.
I think we're going to get a read on that pretty doggone quick because of the 45Z guidance, the Climate Smart Ag Practice guidance that was delivered this week. We had Representative Hinson on the show yesterday, and she basically said, listen, the farm state lawmakers have talked with the incoming administration that they should understand just how important the clean fuel, low carbon fuel incentives that are part of the Inflation Reduction Act, but how important they are to farmers and the Midwest. Jim?
Yes, and I will, since he only has a few days left as Ag Secretary, I will give kudos to outgoing Secretary Tom Vilsack, because he really did fight hard on making these rules, at least as we now know them, flexible relative to the production practices. You only have to have one, you know, and making sorghum eligible along with corn and soybeans. And they're even looking at spring canola. Winter canola and some other oil seeds, but we have to see some more details. But if you're going to decrease trade policy, as far as not new trade agreements, you better use more domestically. And that's where the importance of the biofuel programs come in. These programs better work.
And I think there's been trying to be encouragement for thinking continentally. So, Canadian canola, not the same as Chinese soybeans or Chinese UCO, I should say. Sorry.
There you go.
Those two things are different. But we'll see where they go with it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know what, we need to do what Jim was doing and just, give a tip of the hat to outgoing USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. He's been on the show many times, maybe not in the last 6 months or so, but he's been on the show many times. And his understanding and his pursuit and his support for the biofuels and understanding how it can change the future, there's no questioning his commitment to that, is there, Jim?
No, there isn't. So I do score him on that one. But I'll tell you, we did a back page, we did a page four feature on this 45Z. But in the calls to the trade and in my speeches, I hear different analysts. They're very cynical as far as how much farmers will get out of this program. Yeah. So that is a mindset out there. So because they're saying the third party verifiers are going to have a chunk of that, tax incentive. And by the time it gets to the farmer, they may not get much. At least that's the mindset I'm hearing out there.
Okay. Yeah, and probably based on past reasons to be skeptical. Yeah. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but being skeptical on this, it makes sense.
Yep. The hearing for Brooks Rollins, USDA Secretary, has been moved to January 23rd from, it was supposed to be Wednesday. It's been moved to January 23rd. People are curious what caused the delay, Jim.
Paperwork. They want more paperwork, and that's a typical thing on nominees, Chip. Even though she's been in government many years, that shouldn't be a problem. And I think they're ready to go right now. So you have to give 7 days prior notice if you're going to have a hearing, and I think they've got them all settled. She's set to go on the 23rd. It's tax forms clearance, but it's nothing, nothing negative.
She's a rubber stamp, is she not? I was listening to an interview with I can't remember the website. They've been running like op research against all the nominees, and some of them it's like, oh really, okay. Hers was like extremely weak, even for the kind of anti op research that site was providing. She just seemed like she'll be greenlighted.
Well, and when you meet with her, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, she comes across really good. So I think you'll have more than a few Democrats vote for her.
Yep. Other nominees, Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation. Dudley Hoskins to USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. Luke Lindberg, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs. And Michael Boren, Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment. Great job today, guys. We covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. Have a great weekend and a great day off on Monday for the Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, the inauguration is happening on Monday. We'll talk to you guys later, all right? All right. Everybody. You bet. Come back this afternoon. We've got a conversation with Chip Dellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing, right here on Ag.
I got the anchor for getting into something.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. all to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
My husband and I love an exciting adventure, especially in a stylish SUV. The first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek is meant to be shown off with its all-terrain tires for rocky trails and snowy roads. Its tubular roof rack for hauling gear, and its rugged flair that stands out off-road. Adventure calls in the first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek. Head to NissanUSA.com to see it today. Intelligent all-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Cargo and load capacity limited by weight and distribution. Always secure cargo. Heavy loading of the vehicle with cargo, especially on the roof, will affect the handling and stability of the vehicle.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you tried online gaming. Who knew 12-year-old boys could be so mean?
And where did they learn to swear like that? 2 hours of losing to these underage trash talkers, and you're starting to question if maybe you really should stick to pickleball and other boomer stuff.
So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court upheld the law to ban TikTok if the China-owned parent company ByteDance does not sell by the Sunday deadline. Justices unanimously agreed the security risk to Americans' data is greater than First Amendment.